and welcome to the Chengdu Gaming Federation podcast. I'm Austin, and today I am joined here with Josh.
Hello, everyone. My name is Josh. You might know me from making the quiz podcast
right.
We did last time. Yeah. So now I'm here in the flesh.
Yeah, so good to have you on the podcast. It's nice to have someone from the CGF group take part in the podcast. And we're a little bit, you know, late to recording this, but a few weeks ago, we had something pop up with a very hot game that has been kind of really, really blowing up, especially with a few members in the group, you being one of those. And that is Mario Maker 2.
This game has just taken over the lives of many people in the group. The WeChat group is just so active.
Yeah, I had to leave the group, actually, just because, well, first of all, I would love to be taking part in that, but cracked Switch. So I can't really take... I mean, we can... Us pirates can share... But it's different.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same. And it's not, I don't know, just, I mean, Ryan has described the game as a fusion of what makes Mario platforming so special and fun and, like, social media.
Yeah.
So, and that's really cool. And I think just you guys are making, like, weekly challenges for each other and stuff. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Keeps the maker element of it fun and exciting. But I've only been playing the story mode, sadly.
Yeah, the story mode, it's full of things to do in the story mode. I actually completed everything in the story mode a few days ago, and it took me hours to do everything there was. Like, once you finish building in the story mode, you're rebuilding Princess Peach's castle.
Yeah.
Even when you finish that, there's still a lot of things you can do.
I'm about halfway now, according to the percentage counter.
Well, there's a lot more to do after you reach 100.
Oh,
so.
Son of a bitch. Anyway, yeah, I'm having fun with it, playing the story. I messed around a little bit with the stuff, and I briefly checked out online on Ryan's Switch, which actually checked out what we're going to be talking about today, which has been endearingly referred to in the group as
Goomba Gate.
Yeah. So why don't you tell me a little bit about what happened?
All right. So when I first got Mario Maker installed on my Switch, I played around a little bit with the tools and stuff. The first level I made was just a very vanilla level, just very Mario level, one that you would see in the game, I feel. And, like, that was fun. It was fun to, like, kind of challenge myself to make a good balanced level. And I watched a couple of videos from Mark Brown, you know, from Game Maker's Toolkit.
Yeah, he's really good, actually. He really goes deep into, you know, design and concepts.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot to the game, really, honestly, with how kind of, I mean, it rewards you for experimentation. There are so many little things you can do that you, I mean, wouldn't necessarily just assume would do that, but
right.
Have cool functionality that Nintendo did think of that and built that into that. Like the way that you can, like, you know, a mushroom can impact, you know, an enemy or something and make an enemy big, too.
Yeah, all you have to do is drag the mushroom onto a Goomba or something to make it extra big.
Or you can put them in, like, any enemy into a pipe and have them, like, you know, like, not just piranha plants like you would see in older games, but just have, like, a Koopa just popping out, throwing...
Or you can even put them in the question blocks.
Yeah.
You think you're getting a coin or something, and then out comes a Koopa Troopa.
Or a ghost. And now you've, like, you have a bunch of ghosts chasing you.
Yeah. But, yeah, anyways, that was my first level I made. Just a very basic Mario level. It got some good traction on online. Like, I was, I can't recall, like, how many plays I've had at that point. But it was, I was proud of what I was able to achieve with that. And then after I made that level. I wanted to do things a little differently. I wanted to try out, like, what if I tried to tell a story in Mario Maker? Now,
which I think is pretty cool to begin with. Yeah. You know, that's not your standard, necessarily your standard platformer in general, you know?
No. Now, this is Mario Maker 2, and there was Mario Maker on the Wii U, and I have heard of these story levels that people made, and I've never really looked into it very much, but I thought that would be a cool thing to try to do. So, it didn't really take long for me to come up with an idea for this. I had an idea. I wanted to make the darkest Mario level I could make without it getting removed from the database that they have.
So no ray.
Yeah, none of that.
Sadly.
None of that. And that would be an extra challenge to try to get that.
Yeah, now you're thinking about that.
No. All right. Whoosh. All right. Now, so what I came up with was, we open with Mario just walking through a normal course, picking up a couple coins. Not that long after the level starts, you see a little Goomba just walking by itself. Naturally, you want to stomp on its head. Yeah, actually, I think I put a power up of Fire Flower right before you reach the Goomba. So it's irresistible just to shoot it. Right. Once you do, you hear a little baby, wah. And then
actually, that sound is like pretty creepy. I haven't looked at all the sound files, but what is that specifically supposed to be?
It's the icon in the game is just a baby's face. You know,
it's a pretty creepy baby sound.
It is. Yeah, I would rather have had like just like a baby crying, but the sound that they had is real creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like kind of between a laugh and a cry. I can't really tell what it is, but I just took it as like, oh, this is a baby Goomba. You killed it. Now you got a key, and right next to where the Goomba was walking is a little cottage, a little house with a locked door. Well, the only thing you can do is enter the house. Once you enter the house, you hear a scream and one of the big Goombas we talked about. When you power up the Goomba, you can make it big. And that Goomba runs towards you as soon as you come in the door. Well, you kill it too, and then you go through the next door. You continue your level, walking through, just hitting blocks and climbing up. You get a beanstalk, and you climb up the beanstalk. You reach the clouds. In the clouds, you see a big Goomba and a little Goomba. This time, they have wings. Mm-hmm. And they are flying at you. Yeah, of course, you want to shoot them with your fireballs again. And then next thing you see is a warp pipe. You go down the warp pipe. And before you know it, you are going through this fiery pit. And you are in like one of the Bowser lava levels in the game. And you have to go through this course. Basically, you murdered a Goomba family and you go to hell. And you encounter them again. And they're not happy. And that's the story I wanted to tell.
It was a pretty fun story, I think. I checked it out on Ryan's Switch. And I had a really fun time with it. I just thought it was, you know, a very unique concept. And it was fun playing a Mario level that told its story through the gameplay. No, not something that you experience in any standard Mario game.
Right. Yeah, so...
So what happened?
Yeah. We're not talking about my Mario level.
Talking about...
There's something else to this story. That's why we tagged on the gate to the Goomba. Goomba right. Gate. So, fast forward to, I believe it was July 4th, I think. Every once in a while, I'll go on Kotaku, and one of the places I'll go to check for like game news, whatever, share it to the CGF group if there's something cool that's announced. I saw one of the journalists there. He published a level. It's called That Goomba Had a Family.
Right, and yours was called Mario's Remorse.
Mario's Remorse, right. And I thought, well, that title seems very, conceptually, sounds very similar to what my level was.
Well, so did you check out the level immediately?
I didn't check it out immediately. I went through my day of work, and then like in the evening, I'm like, oh, I should try this. I pull it up, and what do you see but a little Goomba walking by itself? Stomp on its head, you get a key, you enter a house, you encounter another Goomba. You stomp
fall on its through head, hell.
You go to hell. It's like almost beat for beat.
I mean, there's a few design differences and things, but I would say that it's hard to not... I mean, the story is similar. The flow of the level is similar. I mean, it's pretty similar.
It's one of those things where you feel like you ever have this feeling where like you're sitting on a bus and you see someone, you're like, I know who that is. But I know it's not them. There's no way they would be here. I had that experience when I was in...
There's a term for that, isn't there? I don't know what it is right now.
Kind of like deja vu, but it's not kinda, really. It's like you. But anyways... I had that feeling for that level. I was like, this feels like my level, but made by someone else.
So this guy was Chris Kohler at Kotaku. He's a features editor at Kotaku. A lot of the stuff he does is more, you know, behind the scenes work at Kotaku. And he just happened to be plugging a level in Mario Maker on the site because, you know, he happens to be really into Mario Maker and having a good time with it. And
I mean, if I was in that position and I love that game, I would do the same thing.
Right.
Like, hey, so play my level.
It's understandable. Now, my understanding is that with Mario Maker, you can see who has played your level.
Yes.
Yeah. And people, Ryan wrote an article on this, and someone in the comments had said that he had not played your level as far as he knew.
Yeah.
Unless he had a duplicate account. It seems like he would have gone to a lot of work to, like, you know, maybe have a duplicate account out there and play a bunch of levels and find them and then comment. It's possible. It's possible. And what I would like to get into with this episode of the podcast is just plagiarism in general with journalism, gaming, how ideas can be copied.
Yeah.
So it's definitely possible.
Yeah.
But you said you reached out to him and he seemed like a nice guy.
No, I mentioned at the top of the podcast the episode where I gave you all the questions for the trivia and stuff.
Right.
Like, this guy, Chris, he's part of this podcast called Good Job Brain.
Okay.
And that, like, I've been listening to that podcast for years as a big inspiration for the game trivia podcast we made. Like, I've been aware of Chris for years. He's written a few books and stuff about game history, especially with Japan and stuff. But... yeah, so when I found out it was this guy, I was like, oh, man.
Like, you son of a bitch. Yeah. I admired and respected you.
Here's what I did. When I found out, when I played that level, I posted it to the group kind of like as a joke. I was like, hey, this guy stole my level. Deep down, did I really think he stole my level? Like, no, like what you were talking about earlier, like he did not play my level. I could see who played it. I did not deep down think that he completely ripped off of my level.
Well, to be fair, okay, it's his job. I don't realistically see him, you know, just openly admitting that he did it, which I personally think would be in his position had he done that the appropriate course of action. Yeah. Rather than what some other people in his position have done, and it's backfired.
Yeah.
But specifically, you know, last year with the Dead Cells review and Philip Mewson, if you remember that.
Yeah.
And he's probably never going to work in the industry again.
Yeah, that kind of stuff happens a lot more often than people realize, like, just... taking stuff directly from a YouTuber or a different content content maker, just taking stuff directly.
There are just Philip Mewson. There are numerous examples and multiple ones that are almost word for word, you know, ripped off. Specifically, a Nintendo Life review for FIFA 18, almost verbatim, and Samus Returns, also very similar. And the Dead Cells one was strikingly, you know, beat by beat, just similar delivery of the same content. So he definitely deserved that. And so but he did not admit he did exactly what Chris is doing right now and defended himself. But, there is a lot more evidence against him to suggest that, I mean, it wasn't the first time. You know, I don't know of any other evidence in the past of ever Chris having any issue with this. So, I mean, good on him for that. If he did, he's doing a good job covering his tracks. And he has a lot of rabid fans just, like, defending him. Kind of, like, blindly defending him. You know, like, just not paying attention to the full story. I saw people specifically talking about this happening and referring to you as a child.
Someone posted a YouTube video saying, Kotaku writer steals a kid's level.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, you really didn't do your research much for a 10-minute video or something, bringing this down. So with Philip Mewson doing this, with Chris doing this, there's a lot of people talking about it. He's never played the level, according to statistics. Could have a fake account. We don't know. He's obviously probably not keen to admit on it, you know, just because of the blowback it's going to cause him. But I definitely think it's possible with the striking similarities. But according to some people, this concept's already been done in Mario Maker 1.
Yeah, that's one thing. Like, people this was posted to Reddit, made it to the top page of Reddit, this article written about this quote-unquote plagiarized level. A lot of people commented that said that this level was in Mario Maker 1.
So you're the real thief.
I stole it. Here, I'm admitting today, I... Don't tell my wife, I bought a Wii U. found all the top levels, and I'm copying them one by one. When people commented on that, I started thinking, like, well, the idea that I had behind this level, it came to me pretty quick after I started thinking, like, what would a Dark Mario level be? Like, the ideas just came one by one, like, have the little Goomba, the little storybook house right there. The idea came to me pretty quick, and I have reason to believe, like, maybe the same thing happened with Chris. Like, maybe he had, like, similar ideas. So, why? Like, how do these ideas come to us so quickly and so eerily similar? One source of inspiration I may have subconsciously conjured was, you ever read, like, some of the webcomics of, like, Mario or something, where it's like, if Mario were real, and, like, here's one that I think of is Mario goes through, like, it starts off with, like, World 1-1 on Super Mario Brothers, and he plays through it, and he gets to the end, he saves the princess, and then the rest of the comic is just him, like, living his life out with a princess and dying.
Oh, yeah, I think I've seen that one, yeah.
The moment he dies, he reawakens at World 1-1.
Yeah, I've seen that one, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, these dark twist to the just the game mechanics that we have, like,
yeah. So maybe this concept's already been out there in some shape or form that didn't achieve as much popularity, and then maybe you and Chris have picked up, maybe the person from Mario Maker 1 has picked up on this somewhere else, and you haven't bookmarked it, saved it, whatever, and done it that way. That's definitely a possibility.
Yeah. I mean, there is the whole concept of, what is it called? Like multiple discovery, where like, this is more like a, in the science field, like people come up with the same idea, like, Darwin and, who was the other guy who came up with the theory of evolution at the same time? And like, Graham Bell and German guy came up with the idea of the telephone at the same time. Like, or maybe he stole it. I don't know. There's a whole lot of
Tesla and Edison.
Yeah. AC/DC. So there's a lot of examples of that just like in the field of science, but like creatively too. I think it's entirely possible for that to occur. Like I get this feeling sometimes where like I come up with an idea like, oh, this is a great idea. And then I Google it and I'm like, well, someone already had this. I don't know if you've ever had that, but.
Yeah, it's pretty much the story of my life. I have no original ideas. I'm doomed to mediocrity forever.
Mm. And that's the thing that I love about Mario Maker 2 is that you have all these tools to be as creative as you want to be. But then that's also the curse too, because you have these ideas and then you see like, oh, someone already did this too. But it's just fun to like try to figure those things out.
It's fun to have your own take on things. Yeah. I played both yours and Chris's level, and there are certain aspects of both levels that I like, you know?
Oh, yeah.
There are things that he did in his level that you didn't have. Like, he's got fire coming out as you fall down, you know? You both have longer...
I had the fire. He had just the empty one.
Then you've got the fire, and I don't know what I'm talking about.
He had, like, when you stomp on the Goombas when you're in hell, like, they have,
the
like,
light.
Heaven opens up, and, like, it's like, oh, I didn't even know that was possible to do.
Yeah.
And then, like, one thing I loved about his level is, like, when you get to the end, and you get back to the overworld, and then you stomp on all the Goombas' heads going down, you land on a conveyor belt,
and when you hit
when you hit the checkpoint, the end of the level, and then it takes you off, throws you into a pit.
Yeah.
I love that.
So, pretty cool though. I mean, like, but it is a trip to think about, and definitely there are similarities, and there's no way we really have of knowing for certain. So let's just assume he's a dick, dude. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But also, more recently, Bethesda actually published something for Elder Scrolls Online, a story arc. I think it was Elder Scrolls Online, or maybe it was in Blades. Hmm. They basically directly ripped off a D&D story from 3 years ago, 2016, so called the Black Road, and they basically directly stole the writing from the Black Road. It's pretty crazy. If you read them side by side, they just are replacing, you know, races.
It's funny. Like you brought up Bethesda. I thought you were going to talk about a time where they were the victim of plagiarism last year. There was the Fallout Shelter and Westworld game thing that, like,
right.
They're like, so the games are played very similar.
Yeah.
And like,
didn't they have the same errors in the source code too?
Yeah, there was a little glitch that happened where the people at Bethesda, they were like, okay, this is definitely our source code. And I think as of this year, as of March of this year, I think they just completely shut down the Westworld game.
Yeah.
There's like some crazy, kind of legal agreement they came to. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. I know, like, I don't know if that glitch or whatever was intentional, but I know like for like that kind of thing is very prevalent in just as a plagiarism deterrent or like a red flag. It's just like even dictionaries, little known fact, dictionaries will have like fake words in there.
Really?
Yeah. So if someone copies the dictionary, they know, okay, you took our dictionary because this word isn't real.
Yeah, but what if you're just trying to learn things in a dictionary, and now you learned a fake word.
Well, now it's real.
Yeah. Way to go.
Yeah. Thanks, Webster.
Yeah. So that's pretty trippy, though. We've got it happening between major companies such as Bethesda, with huge IPs such as Fallout and Westworld, huge IPs. You know, regularly you see, specifically in China, that's a huge thing in the game industry, in the Chinese mobile game market, flat out. I mean, even look at the ads. Look at the ads. You will see. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, for some shitty Chinese strategy game, that's not even, I don't even know if it qualifies as a strategy game, and then they'll, because of how simple it is, and then they'll be putting pictures of like Age of Empires or Civilization or something. You're like,
or the screaming guy from Clash of Clans. Yeah.
So flat out, this stuff is very prevalent all over the industry. I don't think that it's entirely it's very possible to think that Chris did take the idea from you. I don't know. I have no way of knowing. I also don't think that it's going to go away or anything. This stuff's going to continue. You got your spot. You got to shine in the spotlight for a brief moment. You got a shit ton of plays on that level.
I have. Last time I checked, I had just over 1,000 plays. The day of Goomba Gate, July 4th, like I made it to like the top 100 levels. So I had a day. Oh, one thing I do not like about Mario Maker: when you get a badge, it's temporary. If you fall out of the ranking, your badge goes away. I had a gold badge for most upvotes or likes, and then now I have nothing.
That's weak.
Yeah.
I guess you gotta maintain your rep, dude. You gotta find someone else to plagiarize your work. Or you could plagiarize work and... No.
Yeah. What goes around comes around. Oh, yeah. We were like Bethesda with the Westworld and now the D&D thing. Like,
yeah. Yeah, but that's interesting. Interesting stuff. So, on that note, you know, that's the news about what's happened recently. There hasn't really been anything new to shine on this. Chris Kohler has kind of stepped back from it, trying to avoid talking about it. You reached out to him and he said he didn't want to really take part in discussion of this further. So there's not really anything new to shed light on this, but it is an interesting topic to cover. On that note, is there anything else you're playing right now?
Well, other than Mario Maker, that's pretty all-consuming. Like when I have an idea for a level, it takes several days to like hash everything out. And I did buy Baba Is You the other day. I have not played it yet. I'm waiting to get burnt out a little bit with Mario Maker before I get into that.
Yeah, I actually started Baba Is You about a week and a half ago. So I am about, I don't know, maybe 20 puzzles in or something. It's starting to get pretty mind-bending, dude. Yeah. And on my PS4, I'm playing The Witness, so it's kind of just getting mind-fucked right now. Yeah. And then last night, I finally got around to Donut County. Ben Esposito, I think is his name. Really, really awesome game. That Hola IO, which he claims his idea was stolen for that. So
I actually played that on mobile like a while back too.
It was free. They're pretty different though. Yeah, I mean, like Donut County is single player, Hola IO is a multiplayer game. Yes, there is a hole eating up things getting bigger. But Donut County's got like some small puzzles and stuff and a really charming, quirky story to tell. Yeah. Really great aesthetics, nice soundtrack. It is just fun and it's short, man. Yeah. Started it last night, beat it this morning. Oh, wow. I mean, I didn't play all night. I went to sleep and woke up and but really good. Yeah. Really good.
I want to check that one out.
All right. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you for listening to the Chengdu Gaming Federation podcast. You can subscribe to us on whatever podcast listening app you are using, or look for more episodes on our website, chengdugaming.com. Thanks, and later.